I'll call the meeting to order. A quorum being present, Representative Lilly moves adoption of the minutes of March 5th, which are in your folder. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Representative Erdahl.
Madam Chairman, I noticed that Representative Hansen is late, and normally when I was chair, if the author of a bill was late or didn't show up for a presentation, we just automatically pass the bill on to the next time. We refuse to hear it.
Well,
unless he has a real good excuse, I don't think that we should hear this bill.
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair and Representative Riddle, I had constituents in my office. I think that was probably a pretty good reason.
Well, I don't know, Madam Chair. I suppose we could let it pass, being it was constituents.
Well,
but you can give them my book.
Well, yeah. It may cost you.
All right. Maybe cupcakes tomorrow.
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I apologize for being late, and I respect the committee, and I sincerely do apologize for being late. I'd like to introduce House File 1926. This is the annual Outdoor Heritage Fund recommendations and appropriations.
Okay, as we start with, despite Representative Erdahl's comments, I'll move that House File 1926 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Okay, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I want to acknowledge Representative Lilly had served in this position prior, and Representative McNamara is on the Outdoor Heritage Council with me, so if he wants to come up and sit here, he can. This was a unanimous recommendation from the council. This is a $108 million appropriation. It's gone through the environmental finance. We did make some minor changes in that committee, and it was moved from that committee here. I have with me Heather Koop, who is the assistant director of the Outdoor Heritage Council, who is available for is going to walk through the bill and discuss some of the components of it. I want to go back and just highlight that this was a unanimous recommendation. It's a broad bill with a lot of components. You see a lot of folks in the room that are very interested in this. I think you'll probably be hearing folks who may want to testify on the bill, and I would encourage and welcome that testimony as we move forward on this bill. Ms. Koop.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I would like to direct your attention before I walk through the bill to the legislative overview that's provided in your packet, which is a nice handy guide that summarizes the appropriation recommendations from the Outdoor Heritage Fund. I want to draw your attention particularly to the outcomes. Oftentimes we get caught up in the number of dollars being expended, which is obviously very important, as well as the acres being protected, restored, and enhanced. But I think sometimes we overlook what the purpose and the outcomes of this fund really is about. On the first page of the legislative handout, it describes what some of the very common outcomes associated with many of these projects, and they include improved aquatic indicators, remnant prairies and wetlands that are perpetually protected, restored, enhanced habitat for migratory waterfowl, upland birds, and species of greatest conservation need, forest lands that are protected from development and fragmentation, wetland and upland complexes that will consist of native prairies, restored prairies, quality grasslands, and restored shallow lakes and wetlands, and core areas are protected with highly biologically diverse wetland and plant communities, including native prairie, big woods, and oak savanna. So keep those in mind as we walk through the bill, and I at any time entertain any questions you might have. As Representative Hansen indicated, the total appropriations recommended by the Lasard Sands Outdoor Heritage Council is $108 million and change, $108,620,000. The first subdivision is prairies, and the total recommendation there is $37,435,000. With the number of appropriations, this is the largest single category of habitats recommended in this bill. 2A is to the Department of Natural Resources to acquire lands and fee for the WMA and SNA program. It's $8.145 million. This appropriation also includes specific language to acquire the Vermilion River WMA. You'll note as well through a number of these prairie section appropriations, as well as sprinkled throughout the other sections, is language around emergency graying and hazing, as well as a priority to be given to the acquisition of native prairie lands. Second appropriation in this section is accelerating the Wildlife Management Area Acquisition Program. This is a phase six. $10,350,000 for Pheasants Forever to acquire lands to be conveyed to the state for inclusion in the WMA system. The third appropriation is Minnesota Prairie Recovery Project, Phase 5, $3.94 million to the Nature Conservancy to acquire native prairie, wetlands, savanna, and to restore and enhance grasslands, wetlands, and savanna in the prairie regions of the state. 2D is the Northern Tallgrass Prairie National Wildlife Land Acquisition Program. This is also Phase 5, again to the Nature Conservancy, for $2.45 million in conjunction with the United States Fish and Wildlife Service to acquire lands in fee to be or under permanent conservation easement to be included in the Northern Tallgrass Prairie Habitat Preservation Area in western Minnesota. 2E is a new program, a new initiative on part of the Department of Natural Resources and the Board of Water and Soil Resources, is the accelerated protection of grassland and prairie habitat with Reinvest in Minnesota and Native Prairie Bank easements. $3 million is directed to the Department of Natural Resources, and $2.45 million is to Bowser to implement the Minnesota Prairie Conservation Plan through the acquisition of permanent conservation easements to protect native prairies and grasslands. 2F is to Bowser again for Minnesota buffers for wildlife and water. This is the fourth phase of this program, and this is one of the appropriations that combines the efforts of the Clean Water Fund to extend the riparian buffers in the prairie regions of the state. This would acquire permanent conservation easements to protect and enhance the habitat. 2G is the Cannon River Headwaters Habitat Complex, the phase four of this program. $1.43 million is to the Trust for Public Land to acquire and restore lands in the Cannon River watershed, for inclusion in the WMA system. 2H is the Accelerated Prairie Restoration and Enhancement Program on state lands. It's $1.53 million is to the Department of Natural Resources to accelerate the restoration and enhancement of prairie communities in WMAs, SNAs, AMAs, state forest lands, and lands under Native Prairie Bank easement. 2I, Anoka Sand Plain Habitat Restoration and Enhancement. This is the third phase of this restoration and enhancement partnership. $1.19 million to restore and enhance wildlife habitat on public lands in Anoka, Benton, Isanti, Morrison, Sherburn, and Stearns counties. 2J, Crow-Hassan Prairie Complex Restoration Enhancement, another new program being recommended this year. $370,000 is to the Three Rivers Park District to restore and enhance prairie habitat within the Crow-Hassan Park Reserve. 2K, another new enhancement and restoration program, is the Prairie and Oak Savannah Restoration along the Mississippi and Rum Rivers. $380,000 to Anoka County to restore and enhance riparian and upland habitat in the Rum River Central Regional Park and Cedar Creek Conservation Area, as well as in the Mississippi West Regional Park. That concludes the prairie section. The third subdivision is under forests, and a total of $16.1 million is being recommended for a number of appropriations. The first is to prevent forest fragmentation and protect and restore lake and stream habitat in the St. Louis watershed. $2.8 million is for the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa to acquire lands and fee in the St. Louis River watershed. 3B, Northeastern Minnesota Sharp-Tailed Grouse Habitat Program. This is the fifth phase of this important our forest land program. $3.15 million is to Pheasants Forever in cooperation with the Minnesota Sharp-Tailed Grouse Society to acquire and enhance lands in Aiken, Carlton, Kennebec, Pine, and St. Louis counties for WMA purposes. 3C, Protecting Pineland Sand Aquifer Forest Lands, another new initiative on the part of the Department of Natural Resources. $1.05 million to acquire lands in Fee and Cass Hubbard and Wadena counties for WMA purposes, for scientific and natural purposes, as well as to acquire land in Fee for state forest purposes. 3D, Protecting Key Forest Lands in Cass County. The fifth phase of this program, $880,000, is to Cass County to acquire land in Fee for forest wildlife habitat and or to prevent forest fragmentation. 3E, State Forest Acquisition. Second phase of this program, $950,000, is to the DNR to acquire lands in Fee and permanent management easements in the Richard J. Doerr State Forest. 3F is a partnership program, Southeast Minnesota Protection and Restoration. The second phase, $5.77 million to acquire lands in Fee for WMA purposes, SNA purposes, state forest purposes, as well as to acquire permanent conservation easements and to restore and enhance habitat on publicly protected lands. 3G is the fourth phase of the Camp Ripley Partnership. $1.2 million is to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, as well as Morrison County SWCD, to acquire permanent conservation easements within the boundaries of the Minnesota National Guard Compatible Use Buffer, or ACUB, program to protect forest wildlife habitat. And finally, in this section, H3H, Floodplain Forest Enhancement on the Mississippi River, $300,000 to the National Audubon Society to enhance floodplain forest habitat on public lands along the Mississippi River. This is another new appropriation recommendation. That concludes the forest section. We'll move on now to Wetlands, Subdivision 4. $24 million, beginning with the A, Reinvest in Minnesota Wetlands Partnership, Phase 6, $9.71 million is to the Board of Water and Soil Resources to acquire permanent conservation easements and to restore wetlands and associated habitat in cooperation with the USDA, as well as money provided for Ducks Unlimited for technical and bioengineering assistance. 4B, Accelerating the Waterfowl Production Area, Phase 6, $7.28 million for Pheasants Forever to acquire land and Fee for the WPA system in cooperation with U.S. Fish and Wildlife. 4C, Living Shallow Lakes and Wetland Initiative, Phase 4, $4.91 million to the DNR, in cooperation with Ducks Unlimited to assess, enhance, and restore shallow lakes and wetlands in Minnesota. 4D, Wild Rice Shoreland Protection Program, Phase 3, $198,000 to DNR to acquire land and Fee, and $862,000 to the Board of Water, Soil, and Resources to acquire permanent conservation easements on wild rice lakeshore habitat for native wild rice bed production. 4E, Accelerated Shallow Lakes and Wetlands Enhancement, Phase 6, $1.05 million to the commissioner to enhance and restore shallow lakes statewide. And that concludes the wetlands section. I'll move on to Subdivision 5 Habitats. $30,190,000 is contained in the appropriation recommendations in this section. First appropriation, 5A, is to the DNR Aquatic Habitat Phase 6 program, $2.56 million to acquire interest in land and Fee for the AMA purposes and to restore and enhance aquatic habitat. 5B, Fisheries Habitat Protection on Strategic North Central Minnesota Lakes, $2.13 million to a partnership between the Leech Lake Area Watershed Foundation and Minnesota Land Trust to acquire acquire land and Fee and permanent conservation easements to sustain healthy fish habitats in Aiken, Cass, Crow Wing, and Hubbard counties. 5C, Habitat Protection in Dakota County, Phase 5, $1.19 million is to Dakota County to acquire permanent conservation easements in Fee, as well as to restore and enhance habitats in lakes in Dakota County. 5D, fifth phase of Metro Big Rivers, another partnership program. It is to acquire land and fee and permanent conservation easements, as well as to restore and enhance natural systems associated with the three big rivers, the Minnesota, the Mississippi, and the St. Croix. 5E, Mustinka River Fish and Wildlife Habitat Corridor Rehabilitation, $2.44 million to the Bois de Sioux Watershed District to acquire land and fee and to restore natural systems associated with the Mustinka River located within the Bois de Sioux Watershed. 5F, Minnesota Trout Unlimited Coldwater Fish Habitat Enhancement and Restoration, Phase 6, $1.9 million to Minnesota Trout Unlimited to restore and enhance habitat for trout and other species in and along coldwater rivers and streams throughout the state. 5G, second phase of the St. Louis River Restoration Initiative, $2.29 million is to the commissioner to restore habitat in the lower St. Louis River estuary. Of this, $500,000 is directed to the Minnesota Land Trust. 5H, Knife River Habitat Rehabilitation, Phase 2, $1.41 million is to the Lake Superior Steelhead Association to enhance trout habitat in the Knife River watershed in northern Minnesota. 5I, Restoration Enhancement of Washington County Public Lands, another new appropriation recommendation, $430,000 to Washington County to restore and enhance habitat on public lands in that county, as well as 2J, Worth Park Enhancements, $600,000 to the Minneapolis Park Board to enhance riparian and upland habitat within Worth Park in Hennepin County. 5K, evaluate effectiveness of aquatic invasive species prevention strategies, $4.04 million is to the Central Minnesota Initiative Fund to develop a series of pilot projects to enhance aquatic habitat by preventing the spread of aquatic invasive species. 5L is a Conservation Partner Legacy Grant Program. $4.455 million is to the department to provide a competitive matching grants of up to $400,000 to local, regional, state, and national organizations to enhance, restore, and protect forests, wetlands, prairies, and habitat for fish, game, and wildlife. 5M is a new program, Conservation Partners Legacy Metro Grant Program, very similar to the previous appropriation. $4 million is to for the same purposes outlined previously, but it is dedicated to applicants from the seven-county metropolitan area and cities with populations of 50,000 or more. That concludes Subdivision 5. Subdivision 6 is administration. And the entire subdivision is $885,000. Of that, $150,000 is for contract management to the Department of Natural Resources for contract management duties assigned in this section. 6B is to the Legislative Coordinating Commission, $570,000 for administrative expenses for the council and its staff and expense reimbursement and compensation for its members. 6C is the technical evaluation panel, is $100,000 to the Department of Natural Resources for a technical evaluation panel to conduct up to 10 restoration evaluations. 6D is a high priority pre-transaction service acceleration for LSOHC. It is $50,000 to the department to provide land acquisition pre-transaction services, including but not limited to appraisals, surveys, and title research for acquisition proposals before the council. 6E is the legacy website. It is the council's, or the Outdoor Heritage Fund's share, rather, $15,000 to the LCC for the website that's required under Minnesota statutes. Subdivision 7 outlines the availability of appropriation. Subdivision 8 contains the terms of payment conditions and capital equipment expenditures. Subdivision 9 is a mapping requirement for all lands acquired so that the public has can generate maps and have access to those locations. And Subdivision 10, it regards pollinators and directs recipients of money to include pollinators as part of their prairie restoration plans. There are three changes to statute. The first regarding the aforementioned restoration evaluation, which directs at least 0.1% of forecasted receipts from the Outdoor Heritage Fund must be used for restoration evaluations under this section. Section 4 outlines the acquisition of lands or interest in lands and requires commissioner approval. And Section 5 value assessment requires that the most recently tax assessed value be submitted to the council and to the Commissioner of Natural Resources before lands can be acquired in fee. With that, Madam Chair, I will stand for any questions.
Okay, thank you. There are some amendments, and we can deal with the amendments. Are there people who want to make some comments on the bill as before us before we go to amendments? Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just was curious about on pages 19 through 21, we have the Conservation Partners Legacy Grants. The second chunk of money there under M is for Metro Grant Program. I understand that. But the first chunk, is that available statewide, including the Metro? The phase five of the Conservation Partners Legacy Grant?
Madam Chair, Representative Torkelson, yes, those are available statewide.
So they're available both. So both programs are available in the Metro, is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Torkelson, yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Representative
Erdl. Thank you, Madam Chair. And a follow-up on that. Do you have a percentage on how much of this money is spent in the seven-county metro area?
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, are you speaking directly about the Conservation Partners Legacy Grant Program?
Yes. I'm talking about the whole bill.
Yes. Madam Ms. Chair, Representative Erdahl, approximately 20% of the Outdoor Heritage Fund this year will be directed toward metro area projects.
All right. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl,
Representative Hansen,
to follow up, I think that is in the 5 years, that's the highest percentage that is ever gone to the metro area. In previous years, it was in single digits.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, I did assume that was the highest. It seemed, I remember, it was in single digits the other years.
Okay. I understand, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, that the Metro Conservation Partners includes more than the seven-county metropolitan area. So could you...
Madam Chair, yes, it does. And it also includes language for cities or municipalities larger than 50,000 people.
Okay.
So that would include Rochester, Duluth, St. Cloud.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hansen.
One thing I forgot to do, and I think it it's remiss on my part, but I want to acknowledge Bill Becker, the Executive Director of the Council, who is retiring at the end of this year, and he's sitting quietly in the back here, but we've been through 5 years of council recommendations, and there's been conflict and controversy and many things, but the stable hand of Bill Becker on the tiller of this fund is very important, and I can't think of anybody else who would have done as good a job as Mr. Becker has, and he will be missed, but I want to make sure that the committee, and I certainly publicly want to acknowledge the work that Mr. Becker has done.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that, and thank you, Mr. Becker, for all
thank
that
you
you've done
much.
For us.
I appreciate it.
Are we allowed to applaud?
Yeah, we're allowed to applaud. It's not the Senate. We can do that stuff.
I first testified in front of the legislature in February of 1977. And ever since then, I've had the opportunity to work with you and people who have preceded you in the chairs you're sitting in. The process you're engaged in is an important one. It's a rich one. It's one that's needs to be cherished and made better every day. And we do that by testimony and coming and speaking our minds, and this is a good place to do it. And I appreciate everything you all have done for me and hope I've done as much for you over the years. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Yes. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Becker, I'm glad that Representative Hansen recognized you. I was intending on doing it as well later. Appreciate all the help that you gave when I was chairman. outside that little discussion on the open meeting law, that one didn't work out that well. But everything else, I'm certainly grateful to you for what you've done.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now, Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have pollinator language in that refers to work on a native prairie, and that's all to the good, but that's a tiny bit of land. And I see in here there's money for enhanced grasslands. And first of all, I don't know what an enhanced grassland is. I assume it's brome. What is it that we do? And, well, first of all, what does it do? And I'm just trying to think about the relationship to pollinators. That's where I'm going.
Madam Chair, Representative Guineas, I am not a scientist, and I'd be happy to ask members of either Bowser staff or DNR staff to come down and talk about it. But what I can say with my limited knowledge is that the intent is to create greater biological diversity within those grasslands, to minimize the amount of brome that is present, and to have a greater variety of different kinds of grasses available. But for a really good answer, I would suggest we maybe talk to DNR or Bowser staff.
We don't necessarily have to talk to them, but I'm just thinking about grasslands and how hard it is to establish anything else in brome. And so maybe that's a conversation for another time when we can talk more about how you go about that and making it cost effective. I'm having trouble figuring out, and maybe Representative Hansen has some wise words on that.
Representative Hansen.
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Wagenius, I think the key thing when you go back to the Constitution is we are talking about prairies, and where grasslands come in are under the habitat for, not for fish, but for game and wildlife. And so in order to enhance that wildlife or to restore that wildlife or to protect that wildlife and game, and those are two different things, wildlife and game, the pollinators are part of that biological flora that's involved. You have to have diversity of species. So I think the council this year, and there's some language in here about prairies that I remember, and maybe Representative McNamara can correct me, but we said if we're going to protect prairies, we need to be explicit that we're protecting prairies. And when grasslands come into it, it's about habitat, and in order to have the good habitat, you've got to have the diversity of species that are there. So I think the council's been hearing that discussion that with disappearing prairies, that we need to focus on prairies, and when the grasslands come in, they have to have that mix provide the habitat for all species.
Okay, if I could just follow up with one.
Representative Wagenius.
Do we have good protocols for how you go about getting other things established in grasslands? I mean, brome can be thick, and it can be very hard to get anything else to establish. I mean, we might seed it, but that doesn't mean anything will happen. So do we have good protocols for making that happen?
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair and Representative Wagenius, the Board of Water and Soil Resources has standards for seeding. We also have the DNR when they're doing burns or other type of management on site. And I think the other part of this is we have a component in the bill for restoration evaluations or technical evaluation panels to make sure there's a check on the system to make sure that it's happening. So we have the protocols that have been set up over the last 5 years continuing to be adapted to the best science. And then I think a real key is having those restoration evaluations to make sure it's working. I would, bring down Bowser or DNR if looking for more detail on that.
No, not that, but perhaps this committee could tour some of these grasslands that now have been enhanced over 5 years and see how we're doing and with the idea that maybe we need to do more to make sure that all works out well and works out well for pollinators.
Okay.
If the snow goes.
Oh, she said if the snow goes.
I was thinking not in hunting season.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just wanted to briefly add something. You know, Representative Hansen mentioned Mr. Becker, and it was really an honor to be on the committee. I always felt like I was kind of a fake. I did some fishing, but I wasn't as much of a hunter and all that. But they did a great job, and Mr. Becker was great about teaching me at different times where I was definitely out of my league. And I think you often measure someone by the people they hire. And I think the two people that are by them there, Heather and Sandy, are really strong team members and great resources for all of us here. And as Bill goes on to do more fishing or whatever he's going to be doing, I hope we continue to use Heather and Sandy as great resources. So thank you, Mr. Becker. I just want to throw out the Lessard Sams and then now serving on the LCCMR. One of the components that I really like about these are the citizens' involvement, and I was pretty happy to hear that you had consensus on this bill and moving forward. I am a Metro guy, so John Ward won't be surprised. I'm glad you moved the needle a little bit. Clearly these investments in this category make a lot of sense to be outstate predominantly, but there are investments that can be made in the Metro, and we have a lot of big deer and turkey. You guys could come down and hunt right pretty close to my house somehow. I don't know how, but they're pretty big. But anyways, the citizens, I think, is really a good component. One thing I just wanted to kind of throw out there that made me a little bit uncomfortable, and I just want to say it publicly. I think at one point in your process you had each member was given an allotment of a certain amount of money, and I would hope that you would consider not doing that in the future. I found that to be probably not the best process, and I would argue against that. So I hope in the future you consider doing something a little different, that would just be an opinion. But thank you.
Okay. Okay, let's move to some of the amendments. And I'd like to move the A11 amendment. And this amendment is sort of technical in nature. It allows Carver County to leverage additional funds against last year's appropriation. And people from Carver County are here if we need to ask them any questions about it. Are there any questions about the A11 amendment? Representative Earle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure if I understand it exactly. I mean, was money, I think the basic question is, was money given to Carver County to spend for a particular purpose, and that is now being changed to another purpose?
I think so. Martin Walsh is here from Carver County if you want to answer that question specifically.
Madam Chair, Representatives, Marty Walsh with Carver County, and the answer is yes. We are requesting that we appropriate dollars to a different project. The previous project that was identified still will be done on time, but we are looking add these dollars to match some dollars that we are getting from the state for road work at Lake Minnewashita Regional Park.
So, thank you. So, Madam Chair, you're not asking, there's no additional monies. You just want to repurpose some money that had been appropriated to you before.
That is correct.
Madam Chair.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Hansen. Do you have a comment?
My comment was on the amendment, it appears that we'd be mixing funds here. We'd be adding the Parks and Trails Fund into the bill. So I want to be clear, this would not be changing any outdoor heritage appropriation. This is making a correct. Is it my understanding this is making a correction to yes. the Parks and Trails Fund as a separate component?
Right. It's likely that we're not going to have an additional legacy bill. So this seemed to be, as opposed to having a separate bill, this seemed like an appropriate thing to be able to do. But
I'm getting more confused by the moment, Madam Chair.
Well,
so this section deals not with legacy funds or with Blissard Sam's
yes.
funds at all.
Yes.
It deals with Parks and Trails funds.
Yes. And it's
so
no new money.
This particular issue then would not have come before Lessard Sam's council for their attention, but it's coming to us kind of on a piggyback ride on their bill. Is that
yes?
Am I interpreting that correctly?
It's part of our unsession, not doing an unnecessary bill, and we can.
I could add to that list,
bill.
Madam Chair,
well,
if you'd like.
You didn't, though. Wait for the next stuff.
So, Madam Chair, in essence, we're doing this. This is like a supplemental, a little supplemental bill we're doing.
So, and we'll have to amend. I'll have to add to the amendment that we'll amend the title appropriately.
So, I guess my then a question would be, has this been reviewed by anyone besides this committee?
Madam Chair and Representative Torkelson, this is the first time I've seen this amendment.
And to the gentleman from Carver County, can you tell us a little bit more about the process to get this amendment to this stage?
Madam Chair,
Mr. Walsh?
Yes. Yes, going back to kind of the grassroots part of it, this is a part of our county budget request in terms of the project as a whole. And then was presented to the Metropolitan Council staff for consideration in terms of moving this forward. But this is the first committee hearing that we've had with regards to this item.
Who's carrying this amendment, Madam Chair?
I moved it.
You moved it. It seems a little unusual. I having just seen it today, it's a little hard to. And since we don't have a council for parks and trails that makes recommendations directly to us, it's a little difficult to evaluate.
I have a question.
Represent.
I do notice in here, Madam Chair, that there's funding for a programmer position. Is that something that we normally fund out of the Parks and Trails Fund?
Yes. And there have been, in the other bills, there have been positions in the past. This is, you know, when you do a whole program, there are usually positions in that program, too. Representative Murphy?
Madam Chair, sir, we're repurposing from what to what?
We're not.
I read what we're to what, but from what?
Madam Chair, Representative Murphy, we are repurposing dollars that were allocated towards a trail project to this project.
And I assume the trail project was finished and there were excess dollars, and I also, from what I've been told, I understand this gets additional matching funds into Carver County.
Madam Chair, the funds that are allocated for the 2015 Parks and Trails funds were allocated initially towards a trail project. That project still remains on track for 2015. We would propose to move forward with 2016 legacy dollars to complete that project. But we are repurposing 2015 dollars.
Madam Chair. So this wasn't. It's like you are saying, well, we got money in 2015, so we want it to continue to 2016?
Madam Chair, that and Representative Murphy, that's correct. Well, what happened about a year ago is we were notified that we would receive grant dollars to pave a portion of a road project at Lake Minnewashta Regional Park, And this is the matching dollars towards that project. We didn't know that a year ago that we would receive the grant. Now it's an opportunity for us to take a look at how we might match those dollars with legacy funds. And so we are matching roughly $562,000 from the State Park Road account with about $270,000 of legacy dollars for that project.
Representative Verdell, finish?
Not exactly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I woke up this morning, you know, pretty happy, convinced that I wouldn't be thinking about parks and trails today. But here it is, one of my favorite topics. In essence, are you trying to have a twofer here? We appropriated money once, and you're working on one project, but also trying to leverage some of those dollars to do another project, too. Is that, in essence, what's going on?
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, I'm not quite certain that I understand what we are doing.
I'm confused, too. So,
what we are proposing to do is, because we received the grant from the State Park Road account, and the timing of that project is in advance of work that we are doing on the proposed funding for the 2015 cycle, is that we repurpose those dollars primarily to this project, again, that we didn't know about would be available to us a year ago to complete that project. And then in 2015, we would make another legacy request, Parks and Trails request for funding.
All right.
Okay. Representative Murphy.
If we accept this amendment, will you avoid one application process?
Madam Chair, Representative Murphy, I don't know that we would avoid an application process. We would each year that there are legacy dollars for Parks and Trails funds, we would make application for that.
Madam Chair.
This I will point out, this is in Representative Cindy Pugh's district. If there is, since it's kind of continuing to use funds that we've already appropriated, since we're not going to do a Parks and Trails bill, I thought that this was an easy way to do it. If there is objection, I'll certainly withdraw the amendment.
Madam Chair, do we use legacy funding for matching Parks and Trails funds in any other situations?
I would hope we would. We certainly use legacy funds for matching federal funds in Duluth, which was incredibly good. I would like us to look at more matching of funds from legacy funds. So, you know, that's, you know, if you thought it was inappropriate to do that in Duluth, then maybe.
Madam Chair, I had a question.
Okay. Okay.
Madam Chair, are we having this bill tomorrow on the agenda?
If we don't finish today, yeah. The bill also, you know, my apologies, was a request from Carver County. It seemed reasonable to me. It's not actually for a legislator that I have a very close relationship with, but it did seem appropriate. And, you know, if people think it's inappropriate, we can not do it. Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And certainly I understood, and maybe some folks didn't, that this was a Parks and Trails one. And normally, because that was two-year funding, you wouldn't have a bill this year. So it would make sense if we're in need of a fix that it would be put into this bill, and I think that makes sense, and changing the title may be necessary. I don't see that as a big deal. And we do have, you know, if this was a legacy, or I mean, if it was a LaSarge-Sams, that process would have picked up, and they would have been informed of why there was a needed change. I'm a little confused, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering if maybe a couple of us, I think there's at least one other individual from Carver County here, maybe a couple people on both sides could just better understand it, maybe while we laid this amendment over, so that we don't take up the committee time too much. And if it does seem to be necessary that this issue be dealt with tomorrow, I think this is the appropriate committee for it to be dealt with. I wouldn't want to have it, see it go to Ways and Means, which is probably where Representative Hansen is going from here, and to do a separate bill doesn't seem to make sense. But it might be better if a couple of us could more fully understand. I'm a little perplexed myself, and it is the first time. I don't know if the county went to some folks on your side of the aisle, but it doesn't seem like on this side of the aisle. And Madam Chair, I do appreciate you mentioning one of the flags did come up for me. If I'm not mistaken, Carver County is a county that's 100% Republican represented. And so I appreciate the Democrat chair moving the bill. And so if all of a sudden it's like, hey, here we are. And I'm glad that we're asking the questions bipartisanly. But I'm just wondering, Madam Chair, if we should lay it over for a little bit here to maybe get a couple folks a chance to understand it more fully.
Representative Hausen.
Could I just put one more question on? I have absolutely no problem with it being included in this bill. You've got, you're so very clear about Article 2 Parks and Trails Fund, so I have no. But the one thing that I wanted to just clarify, and so if they're clarifying that, is that first funding source you have, does that require a match? Is that and you're seeing this as the helpful match? Is that my understanding?
Madam Chair and Representative, no, it does not require.
It does not require.
It does not require.
Okay. So then it wouldn't, because I thought, really, if it were a match required, you're really matching state money with state money, which usually wouldn't qualify as a match. So you're saying it's not an issue.
That's right.
Okay. I have no problem.
Well, what do you want to do? Do we want to lay it over? Does anyone want to speak? All right, let's lay it over and continue with the rest. Okay, another amendment labeled A18, and I'll move the A18 amendment. And what this amendment does is, this is to the AIS part of the bill, and this was language that was taken from the accomplishment plan, which we have before us when it was looking at it, and it puts this puts the language taken straight from the accomplishment plan, so it's not any language that we invented, and it puts that in law. And we worked this out with Bill Becker, and Ms. Koop can speak to it if necessary. It was just putting a little bit more specification into the language on page 19. Ms. Koop? Is there anyone have any questions about it or any problems with it?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Hansen.
I've been approached that there are several folks in the audience that want to comment on AIS, and this might be the opportunity, since this amendment is before us, just to give the public. I think there are, unless you were going to have them at another moment in the committee, but I think they were here about this.
Okay. Well, that's not a bad idea to have before we deal with this amendment. Let's have people comment on the AIS section in the bill. Who? Okay. Mr. Schneider, people who have said that they wish to comment on this.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Dominic Cerisi, and I'm the president of the Bay Lake Improvement Association. Bay Lake is a 2,400-acre lake located in Crow Wing County. Our association has just over 500 members who care deeply about our lake and all lakes in Minnesota. We've been following the progress of House File 1926 with great interest. We applaud the Lessard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council and the legislature for funding $4 million for AIS pilot programs. We feel that Amendment A18 is a step in the right direction. However, we still have some concerns with the bill. We are still concerned that the Initiative Foundation was chosen to administer the pilot programs. Approximately $50,000 per year will be spent on administrative costs if the bill were to pass as currently proposed. We feel that the Department of Administration could grant funds to the pilot programs for less than the $300,000. We also are concerned that the Initiative Foundation is not focused on statewide issues. To illustrate this point, one look need look no further than their homepage on their website, which states serving central Minnesota since 1986. Further, I could not find a page on their website dedicated to the Healthy Lakes and Rivers Partnership, the vehicle through which the AIS pilot program money is supposed to flow. We're also very concerned about the timeline of the pilot projects. We feel that 5 years is way too long, and that a two-year pilot program would yield enough data on what works and what doesn't. This would allow time to implement the best practices found from successful pilot programs throughout the state before the majority of our waters are infested with AIS. And our final concern is that the pilot programs will have to adhere to current state laws, which are not nearly strong enough to prevent the spread of AIS. Please allow for new and innovative ways to fight AIS. I thank you for your time, and I will answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, is there anyone from the Lasard Sam's Council that would like to?
Do you have another question?
Oh, good. All right, another person who wishes to comment on this.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll see if there's anyone from the council or council staff who wishes to comment, or the author of the bill, or anybody. Yep. Mr. Snyder?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Joe Schneider. I'm the Vice President of Minnesota COLA. We are the statewide group of coalitions of lake associations and river associations in Minnesota. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. I've had the opportunity to speak in front of the Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council several times as their process has moved forward, and in front of the House Environment Committee last week. I'm specifically speaking on the AIS portion of the this bill. It's a paltry $4 million out of $108 million. That's 3.7%. I say paltry in jest because that is a very large amount of money for AIS. We are very thankful that the Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council has identified that amount of money for AIS. That said, we are wanting to make sure that some amendments get made to it to make sure that it gets spent in the best way and has a high impact for the state of Minnesota. In the question of urgency that Mr. Cerisi just commented on, we agree that the urgency has not been addressed in this bill. It's a five-year horizon to not only spend the money, but then evaluate these projects. That is way too long for a wave of infestations that are happening in Minnesota. If that's not clear to this group, it should be. Just this year, the number of lakes and rivers that were designated as infested with zebra mussels has increased significantly. The whitefish chain has been identified as infested. Lake Winnie has been identified as infested. This trend is not stopping. So urgency really is the name of the game. Unless something is done, there is going to be no impact to the aquatic invasive species programs until 2015 boating season. That's way too long. The process to get the language to this point was irregular, to say the least. And the proposal did not get the normal vetting through the Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council, but nonetheless, it's here in front of you today. It does, as Mr. Cerisi indicated, have some excessive amounts of spend in the administration area that we would like to see change. So what can you do to make this $4 million provide greater value to the state of Minnesota for the taxpayer dollar? Please don't push it forward as it is. Amend it to deliver results in 2014 and 2015. Ways you can do that would be directing the DNR to do border checks and multi-lake inspection programs. They are positioned to do that today. It takes no new legislation to do that. It simply takes direction and money. Amend it to be used in 2 years, not five. Amend it to allow the DNR to pilot proven solutions used in other states that may require some changes or capabilities that are not currently in state statute but are proven solutions in other states. Amend it to require decontamination equipment to be deployed and staffed throughout the state, helping boaters who want to do the right thing to decontaminate their boats to be able to get that done in a timely and convenient manner. So with that, thank you for listening, and I would be happy to take any of your questions. Okay.
I will have some comments, but is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to comment on this section? Okay. The one thing I will point out is that the amendment that we put on specifically refers to decontamination.
That's correct.
And I know I've never been on Sam's, but I was on LCMR and, in fact, chaired it for several years. And work plans do get amended. So the statute does not say anything about 5 years and so forth. Of course, we're basing it on a work plan that says that, and I'll let the author of the bill, who's a member of the council, also speak to that. But the members of the council could listen to what you're saying and could think of an amendment to the work plan without us. You know, I guess anything we would put, if we would put that kind of language into the statute, it would prohibit, you know, I mean, it would, if we put the language you want, it would prohibit them doing what they've kind of thought they would do. I'm somewhat comfortable, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I'm somewhat comfortable with the fact that if early results show that they could move forward faster, there's nothing to stop them in the law from doing that. But let me go to the author of the bill and see what he has to say. And member of the council, right?
Well, yeah. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think it's important to look at context of where we were a year ago on the question of aquatic invasive species and the Outdoor Heritage Fund. We were in a debate of whether it was appropriate to spend any money on aquatic invasive species. And I and ultimately the council supported putting aquatic invasive species in this bill. I do want to, and with Representative McNamara here, go back to address Representative Lilly's question, because whenever there was a vote, and there were votes on every appropriation on these issues, so there were votes recorded for each component on each of these items. So aquatic invasive species was included in the bill because there were votes to put it into the bill. And then the bill was voted on unanimously to make sure there were aquatic invasive species. The whole bill is in there, and this is a component of it. I believe aquatic invasive species are constitutionally appropriate because for the Outdoor Heritage Fund, because protect, restore, and enhance fish habitat. Fish, game, and wildlife, the fish habitat is there. So from a year, we are no longer debating whether outdoor heritage funds should be expended on aquatic invasive species. We are debating how and who and probably where, but the why is no longer there. And so the discussions on this have continued to evolve where people, I think the issues that have been raised in the public testimony in this committee and in the previous committee were also raised in the somewhat on the Outdoor Heritage Committee. We are hearing specific suggestions for approval. There is a council meeting on Friday. I think there's a value in bringing some of those to the council. We are not to Ways and Means yet. The reason you're hearing multiple public testimony is because of the passion for this issue. I think that Minnesotans understand aquatic invasive species is a threat to our natural resources. And so how do we do this? Minnesotans are being frugal. They're commenting that they want to make sure that the administrative costs are low. They want to make sure that we are saying that we're going to be efficient and effective. And the amount of money that's appropriated here was difficult to get. I mean, it was a difficult amount to get this money. I think this is a start. In the council deliberations, recommendations, we talked about this as a pilot project. What can work? What doesn't work? We need information for us to do that. To bring that statewide, it's going to take more money. But there are annual appropriations that allow for that to happen. I think that the amendment that is in front of us addresses some concerns, but not all. I think that those specific recommendations that came from the testifiers we should continue to take a look at. And if this bill is in front of this committee tomorrow, that also
I tend to think giving a little bit of daylight helps the end product as well.
Yes.
This is a discussion that we're going to continue to have. I hope the Senate is having this discussion as well in evolving, and I think the council is doing that. The reason we have aquatic invasive species in here is we started to put it in the request for proposals. We emphasized that it's going to be in the request for proposals for the next round of applications, which will start in a couple of months.
Representative Pastor.
Well, Madam Chair, it's that five-year piece, and I don't know, we haven't talked about that very specifically, particularly if I look at page 19, line 13. I mean, I try to imagine if that same amount of money is spread over 5 years or 2 years, and you're saying no, that wouldn't be? Because then that whole required evaluation, that the efficacy of inspection, I mean, it seems as though if you're spreading something over 5 years, that evaluation gets thinner.
Madam Chair, Representative Hausman, I think there's some confusion around the five-year limit. What we have heard over and over again from testifiers over the last 5 years before the council, particularly those who are doing aquatic restoration enhancements, is that a five-year window allows them to monitor their progress and to make adjustments over time, because these can be particularly difficult enhancement activities. So by allowing the program to stay, have the appropriation available for 5 years, allows them to make those adjustments and monitor over time. What the five-year doesn't mean is that the money necessarily will be allotted to different programs over 5 years. It very well, depending upon the quality of the pilot's proposals, it could be awarded all immediately. In the first round, if you will. So I think we need to be really careful about that. We want to make sure that people who are working in those enhancements have the time necessary to make sure that they have a good product at the end. I would add, too, that there is also some confusion that this is a granting program, and it's not. It was specifically designed to be a pilot program, because if we had the answers to fighting AIS, we would already be implementing them, and I think the council would be wholeheartedly behind that. But because we don't, we felt that this was a really important investment of those outdoor heritage funds to attempt to try to figure out what are the strategies, what are the tactics, what are the partnerships that we need to battle this very important and very urgent issue that we face as Minnesotans. So we have to be really cognizant of that this is not meant to underwrite necessarily existing efforts. It very well might, but we're really looking for innovation. We're looking for really the kinds of answers that we've all been seeking, you know, for the last decade or so, and hopefully this program will lead us through the evaluation piece to really understand what are those the best tactics in which to make those investments.
Again, I'd like to say if some of the objections raised were a problem with language in the statute, I'd be much more interested in pursuing it. But the fact is that it is in the work plan, and I know that work plans can be amended. And that this discussion obviously will be referred back to the council bother me.
Madam Chair, if I may, too, the accomplishment plans, and we just passed, I believe, out the draft accomplishment plan for this appropriation recommendation. At this point in time, all of the accomplishment plans for all of the recommendations are in draft form and can be modified at any time. They will not have a final approval, if you will, until the bill is signed into law. So there's still plenty of time to make the necessary adjustments as the legislature deems necessary and as more information comes forward. Mm-hmm. But it is a very good draft. It's very detailed, and we have every confidence that Mr. Hickman, Mr. Sumption, as co-managers from the Central Minnesota Initiative Fund, are well-equipped to sponsor this program.
Okay. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and you touched on just what I was going to talk about. I think it was Mr. Cerisi that said, raised the question about the initiative fund being the fiscal host of the dollars. And I, I agree with Representative Hansen as well, and most of us sitting on this committee, as well as other committees, the environmental committee, and Capital Investment Committee and many Fish and Game Committee. I mean, there's all kinds of committees that have been talking about aquatic invasive species for a long time. And this Legacy Committee has also been talking about it, but this year took action. And Representative Hansen, I think you're absolutely right on, spot on with thank you for to the Lessard Sands for putting, and both you gentlemen talked about that, for putting the $4 million there. You know, and the Initiative Foundation, as I think Mr. Reese said when you checked the website, and I've talked to Mr. Hickman personally about them taking over the fiscal host of the operation of this, and I'm sure that the Lessard Sams also investigated that thoroughly before they recommended the initiative. And there are a number of initiative foundations in the state of Minnesota. It's not just the Central Minnesota Initiative Foundation, but and I suspect that that's one of the reasons that they were picked is because they are a regional kind of concept that have served as fiscal hosts for a lot of grant kind of projects. And have the capability and the technology and the staff and everything that it takes to make sure that those dollars for aquatic invasive species are being spent properly and correctly, and that, you know, as much as possible going to the prevention of that. So I just wanted to point that out that Mr. Hickman and I have talked personally about that, and he has assured me that the Initiative Foundation is ready, able, capable, and ready to go with this whole project. So I just wanted to touch base on that.
And Madam Chair, Representative Ward, if I may add to, you are correct. There are five other initiative foundations throughout the state of Minnesota, initially funded through the McKnight Foundation to help rural economic development. But I would also add that Mr. Hickman is just a master of collaboration and partnership and has already convened several meetings in which he has worked collaboratively with the Department of Natural Resources, Aquatic Invasive Species Special Committee, as well as the Minnehaha Creek Watershed District, and also the Minnesota Coalition of Lake Associations. So he truly understands partnerships and collaborations and understands that this effort will only be as successful as the number of people and number of viewpoints that are present and participating.
Okay. I don't think I see any further discussion. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. I've been heard from conversation from some members that their objections to the A11 amendment are dissipating. So I'll try to. Representative Erdo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have decided that Carver County is a beautiful place and deserves to be made only better.
That makes me, since it has Republican representatives. Yeah. Okay. All right. The A11 amendment was moved. I didn't withdraw it. All those in favor of the A11 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay. Now have a Wagenius amendment, Representative A15. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the amendment. This is adding some additional money to a project that is already going on. I understand that it is something that the Lessard Sams folks have considered and says, yes, we need to do this. And I would ask that perhaps Representative Hansen could give us a little bit more background on this.
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, and I was still dealing with a little bit on the 5-year. I think there's a maybe an amendment coming because of from council back on the AIS issue. So I need to get, which amendment are we on?
A15.
Shell Rock River Watershed. Yes. So the Shell Rock River, and I know there are people here to testify on this that drove up from Albert Lea. We did discuss this in the council that if there were funds that were available, And I would like to get two things. One is the Ms. Koop to just talk about the fund balance for availability of this appropriation, and also about potential cancellation that may provide the dollars. And then I would like to get the Albert Lea folks on to explain why this appropriation is needed.
Okay, Ms. Koop.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, the current fund balance as of December 12th is approximately $4.9 million on the bottom line of the Outdoor Heritage Fund. We have recently been apprised of a prior appropriation's inability to acquire a particular piece of land in which that was the only land to be acquired. It was a land addition to the Janet Johnson WMA in Chisago County. Does not look like that appropriation is going to be fulfilled, purpose is going to be fulfilled, and there'll be about $577,000 canceling. That appropriation, however, is open until June 30th, so we won't know for sure until at that time.
Representative Erdl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Koop, that you gave us a dollar amount, was it 4.9?
Madam Chair, million? Representative Erdl, yes, sir.
What do you have a percent on that? What percent do we have on the bottom line?
It's about 5%. It's about approximately 5%.
Okay.
Thank you.
Someone from Albert Lehue wants to speak to this briefly.
Yes, Madam Chair and Committee. My name is Andy Henschel, and I'm the Director of Field Operations for the Shell Rock River Watershed District. And first, I just want to say thank you for the support for all of our continuing projects, and I'm definitely here to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions?
Okay. Madam Chair, this particular project was in a previous appropriation, yes. And the bids came in for the project where there's not enough funds in the appropriation, so this is providing a supplemental appropriation within Outdoor Heritage. Representative McNamara, just to get on the record that we did talk about this in the council.
Okay. All those in favor, any other discussion? All those in favor of the A15 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, there's another amendment labeled A16 from Representative Green. Do you want to tell us about your amendment, Representative Green?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I brought this amendment forward simply because we are, in my area of the state, experiencing a lot of land acquisition from the DNR, and they are actually outbidding private.
Are you moving the amendment?
Oh, excuse me, yes. I'd like to move the amendment.
Okay. Representative Green moves A16 amendment. Okay.
And that's basically it. They're paying over and above the estimated values of the land. And what this amendment will basically do is just assure that the land, the tax dollars being spent through Legacy, will be not competing with private people, private taxpayers on the purchases of property.
Representative Bouginius?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate our taxpayers getting value for their dollars. And we have some leeway that we use for looking at an assessor's dollars. When people want to double and triple, I gag. But when it's just a little above, perhaps it's worthwhile. So I have an amendment that I would like to move, and that's the A17 amendment to Representative Green's amendment, and I hope he will accept it. It basically says Representative Green's amendment, but if the commissioner determines that the acquisition is a high priority and it gives criteria because the land is adjacent to another, piece of public land, it would conserve a high degree of biological diversity or is otherwise a high priority for the department, then it can be purchased, and the commissioner has to document why, so that we actually get someone's thoughtful evaluation of a particular piece of property before you would go above that assessed value.
Representative Green?
Well, the problem with the amendment, I'm afraid, is that it negates my amendment. I mean, with this on there, there'd be no need for mine because in the commissioner's evaluation, he could just decree that any piece of land that he wants is of high value.
Well, Representative Williams.
Well, I think that the check on that is the line 1.6. The commissioner shall document the reason for the determination in writing. So, and I think that's the appropriate for anything like this, actually. It's not just this. That when a determination is made in writing and the reasons given, then we have accountability. And one of the things I think we all struggle with all of these land purchases is accountability. So what I am offering here is not just a strict no, but a little room for acquiring really nice pieces of land, but also the accountability that goes along with it.
Okay. Mr. Murray, did you want to speak to this?
And Madam Chair, as he's coming down, I'm going to hand out a sheet from the council on lands acquired in fee so that folks have some context.
Okay. Mr. Meyer.
Madam Chairman, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. And I do understand and I appreciate Representative Green's concern and also Representative Wagenius's. However, the amendment as drafted will cause several problems. Looking at, if you look at the language, the most recent shall not, start at the bottom, 1.27 at the top of the next page, shall not agree to pay more than a county assessor's most recent estimated market value. Well, most recent is variable. I don't know what that's going to mean, right? And in an increasing land value, we may pay less, but as land values decrease, we may be paying more than what the appraised value are of these lands. We have a concern about that. We're already required by statute where we're prohibited from buying land paying more than 10% over the appraised value. Actually, Representative Carlson has a bill that's moving forward that applies that principle, which he feels is good, and I think the House has agreed to that, that 10% in some cases may be okay, but no more than 10%. That applies to the DNR's acquisition. So we're already restricted to no more than 10%. In addition, the language in Section 4, where we're taking minimal value acquisitions, will impact, it will cause us to do appraisals for these small tracts of lands that sometimes are done by formula, the Army Compatible Use Buffer Easement Program that the DNR and Bowser have, the Trout Stream Easement Program that we have where we're using formula-based acquisitions. This will cause problems with that as well. We do appreciate Representative Wagenius' amendment to the amendment, but basing acquisitions solely on assessors' values is very problematic. It's the assessors, by law, are supposed to be within 10% of the actual appraised value, but I don't think they can keep up with that. We've seen instances where recent legacy acquisitions, we've done multiple appraisals, and we've come up with the fact that, you know, sometimes those appraised values are off by factors of 300 or 400% in some cases. We've done a second appraisal. Anything over $1 million we're requiring double appraisals on. So we feel that when the DNR is acquiring lands with legacy dollars, we are getting the best value for the state and for the citizens of the state of Minnesota. It's not in our best interest to pay more than the appraised value, selfishly, because then that's going to increase the PILT payment that we have to pay. PILT is based upon the value of the acquisition for the first 5 years, and it goes to assessed value. So we do need to operate in certain parameters. Working in counties that want to buy land is where we're trying to be at, and the high priority parcels that we have out there and in holdings, as there are some in this bill, are where we want to focus our dollars, but also take advantage of opportunities for us to expand conservation as well.
So, Representative Meyer, Mr. Meyer, sorry, don't want to demote you. So you're saying that even if the Wagenius amendment goes on to this amendment, that Section 4 is still a problem and we should eliminate Section 4?
Madam Chair, yes, and we do not support the concept of using estimated market value for acquisitions.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Representative Wagenius?
Well, I think you made one of the best arguments for using the estimated value of an assessor, because our appraisals are wild. And I don't think that you can argue, if you look at a list of all of the properties paid for by the Lessard Sams dollars, the price per acre goes from very little to almost $100,000 per acre. So Representative Green is on to something that we need to be a little more conservative, and I am just making his proposal more oriented to accountability rather than just a strict bright line. So if we didn't have these wildly different values of price per acre that we were paying, your argument might be good. But we have these wildly different price per acres, and that's not right.
Madam Chair,
Mr. Miller,
Representative Aguinas, I understand your concerns, and we have been seeing some differences in opinion, so to speak, on the way lands have been appraised in the past. That's why we try to get second-hand opinions, or second appraisals. But if you look at the Landowner Bill of Rights in 84.0274, the landowner has the right to have the property fairly appraised by the state. That's going to be in Subdivision 5, 2D. So we're now setting up some language, I think, that's in conflict of the Landowner Bill of Rights here, where that landowner does have the right to a fair appraisal. And I would encourage us to have a conversation with the Assessors Association, perhaps, on this amendment. I don't think they can keep up with the demand for assessed values of land. We all in this room are very much concerned about the best value for the state and not driving up property values. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure we're paying that landowner the fair amount of money for their land. And I think the language in this amendment needs to be examined to make sure that we're doing that.
Representative Aguinas.
We need a landowner bill of rights for land where we are saying to the landowner, we are going to take it. We are going to build a road here. We are going to put up a power line here. I wouldn't change that in any way, shape, or form. But these are not purchases where the state says, I am taking your land. These are people who are willing sellers, and if they don't have to sell to the state, and we don't have to buy. It's a very different situation. In fact, one of the big arguments that we got for we have heard is that when we had multiple people going out there and acquiring land on behalf of DNR and behalf of the state citizens, we would get prices that were less. That's what I was hearing 5 years ago. We would get bargain deals. We're not getting bargain deals. We're paying top dollar now. So it's absolutely flipped. We're paying top dollar, and perhaps Representative Green's and my combination is not the right combination, but we are paying top dollar. And somehow we've got to go back to being more conservative with the taxpayers' dollars.
Madam Chair, just quickly, I wholeheartedly agree. Just if I had to sell my house based upon the market assessed value versus what the market price of it is, I wouldn't sell my house. And I think that's where the landowners will be based with this language. So I would love to be able to work with both of you and talk about this issue further, but I think the way it's written is going to cause problems for the work that we want to do in conservation with the legacy bill.
Representative Aguinas, we do have like 3 minutes left. So.
Okay, well then, Madam Chair, we have had this conversation back and forth before, and you haven't come up with an alternative. Representative Green came up with an alternative. I tried to broaden it somewhat. Come up with an alternative that gives the taxpayers a better bang for their buck.
Representative Wiginius, your amendment is still before us. Okay. Representative Torkelson.
I'm going to pass, Madam Chair.
Okay. Okay. Representative Green.
I just want to clarify a couple of things here. First of all, if it'll get the votes, I will take the amendment, my amendment. But secondly, to make sure that people know, nobody is telling the landowner what they have to ask for their property. They can ask three times what it's worth if they want, and if they can get it, that's fine. What this amendment is saying is that state dollars can only go so far. That's what this amendment does. Does not prohibit anybody from asking whatever they want for their property.
Okay. So have you accepted the Wagenius Amendment now? So the Wagenius Amendment is now part of the Green Amendment. Okay, we now have... So all those in favor of the motion to adopt the A16 amendment on the bill, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nope.
Okay. The amendment passes. Okay. Does anyone want to come back tomorrow to finish this bill, or do we want to pass the bill as amended out? Or are there any other comments on the bill?
Madam Chair, I think Ms. Taylor has an amendment that, based on the discussion and review of requirements, she would like to, or I would ask her to make a comment on and present.
Madam Chair, committee members, back to the AIS appropriation on page 19. Just to be clear that the appropriation is available for the 5 years, I would recommend adding an amendment to do so. That would read on line 19.15 after the period, insert this appropriation is available until June 30th, 2019 period. And then some additional language was requested by the author that would read after the period, the accomplishment plan must accelerate the start of the pilot projects, period.
Okay, and that's acceptable to the author?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone need that amendment repeated? Do you understand it? Okay. Okay, I guess I'll move it. I guess Ms. Taylor gets to say it, but she doesn't get to move it. Okay. All those in favor of the corrective amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. So is there any... I don't think we have any further amendments. Is there any further discussion of the bill? Okay, so therefore I'll renew my motion that House File 1926, as amended, be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much for the... Oh, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I apologize for being late. And
well, we managed to finish not much more than you were late. So, okay, thank you all members for cooperating. Meeting.
We're not meeting.
We meet tomorrow.
So we're not meeting tomorrow. No, we're not meeting tomorrow unless we can think of something good to do. Okay, meeting is adjourned.